Radio Influence. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Dark to Light podcast episode of Frank and Beans. Although Beans is not here, it is 9:54 a.m. I'm all by my lonesome, recording in New York on a sunny, crisp, beautiful October 9th in the year 2020, as if you needed any reminder as to what year it was. And what are we going to do today? Well, I have a little bit of something to do. I wanted to touch on a couple of headlines and listen to a couple of media clips with you all out there, and hopefully not defile the show too badly in Tracy's absence. But going forward, and as a central focal point of today, I also want to leave you with a very special interview. From a show that I did this earlier on this week. And I think it's going to resonate with a lot of you, because the last time that Tracy and I got together, we were talking about political awakenings, spiritual awakenings, what the country's going through right now, what we're all suffering through at the same time, how we're being tormented collectively. But ultimately, there is a rising tide that cannot be fought back. It's long been said that nothing can stop an idea whose time has come, and I really do believe that that is happening right now. There is a shedding of skin that must happen. There is an exposure that is so blatant and so obvious for all to see. It is tyrannical. It's authoritarian. It is not life-affirming in the least. And we are at the precipice of greatness, even though there is much more murkiness and much more uncomfortable days ahead. I really do believe that we are doing the work that needs to be done, as has been done many times throughout our history. At least the last telling of our history. God knows how many histories there have been lost forever. But we're trying to be stewards of this earth, of our own story, to the best of our ability, and let's just move on with some things. Now, the first thing I want to say is happy Che Guevara execution day. So that's something we should all be happy about. And I wanted to also bring up a little bit of a cluster of tweets, a small thread I put together last night before I went live on my show at 7 o'clock, that really sums up a few of the major things that are happening at the same time. All happening at the same time as of 6:30 p.m. last night is this. You had the people out there who said that Trump lost the debate with Biden, but at the same time were demanding that he be muzzled at the next debate with Biden by saying he needed to be muted, he needed to be kept under control. They are all now calling Donald Trump a coward for only wanting to debate Biden in person and opting out of some kind of a Skype or Zoom debate. The hashtag coward, Trump is a coward, was trending on Twitter. It's so hilarious from the people who supposedly said that Trump lost to Biden, but at the same time needed to muzzle him. If he was losing, wouldn't you want him to continue to bury himself? Wouldn't you want him to continue to beclown himself in public? Wouldn't that only help you? Why would you want to muzzle him? Hold him back, restrain him. Why? Especially since you have no scruples of your own. So there's that. Also, and we're going to get around to clips supporting most of these points here, Nancy Pelosi and her crazy sorority in the House of Representatives, they are about to reveal today a bill that would create a commission. Albeit it is a completely useless gesture, who can create a commission on UGOTS, it does not matter. But they're going to create a commission to determine whether the president is fit for office. 26 days before an election that he's supposedly losing by double digits, no matter where you turn, God knows what's on the Drudge Report right now. Doom all around. So that's what Nancy Pelosi is doing today. She's a crazy, crazy woman. She's using the 25th Amendment as the guise for this commission and to seeing if he's mentally fit for office. Like I said, 26 days before an election, he's supposedly losing by double digits, no matter where you go in the mainstream media to find all of your polling information. So you can take that to the bank and try to deduce what's actually going on with that. Then, of course, we have this. Last but certainly not least, Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, who was just rebuked by her her own state Supreme Court and has really, you know, been her own worst enemy in the public eye this entire year, supposedly has had a white supremacist kidnapping plot thwarted by the FBI, who on other days, every other day of the week, is useless and can't get anything worthy of note done. Completely swamped out, completely controlled by politically biased lunatics. So the FBI has stepped on up, and they've been able to thwart a white supremacist kidnapping plot. Yeah, so they, I don't like the FBI. Sorry. Used to be a very, very cozy thing, but I will tell you something about this right here. Just hold on to your hats. I don't know who it's going to be, whether it's going to be two Nigerian brothers with MAGA hats on or whatever the hell it is. They're going to give you names. They're going to give you lists. They're going to talk about Proud Boys, probably. They're going to talk about this and that. But I can assure you that this is not the end of the story. I can't wait to see where it goes. It's October 10th, so there's that. I think that maybe they're blowing their load this early on because this year, more so than any others, there's so many people casting early ballots. I think that October surprise had to start in September with all of these fake stories, the Atlantic article, this one right here, the 25th Amendment, anything else you can dig up and repeat on COVID or even Russia at this point, because there's so many people that are voting early. I think that somebody has tallied, it's been tallied so far that close to 7 million votes have already been cast. So it's not necessarily the most strategic thing. I guess it would be. The lion's share of votes are going to be cast in person on the 3rd of November. But, I mean, you've got to carpet bomb the entire month of October with nonsense. I cannot wait to see what happens with this Gretchen Whitmer thing in Michigan. This is not all that meets the eye. We'll just see who's really behind it. We'll just see. Well, why would they want to kidnap her? A, what is that going to do? Who's going to pay her ransom? What's it going to do? I can see if people start getting so desperate with their state, local, and federal leadership that kidnapping start happening after the election, and one side or the other starts feeling completely disaffected. And the more loony parts of either side start thinking, well, I got to do something now. But, I mean, Trump may still win Michigan. Why? And you just had the Supreme Court come on down and say all of the lockdown stuff that she was doing was completely illegal. So you have momentum that's going against Whitmer. So it's either, I just don't know. But it's not the last we're going to hear of this. Not by a long shot. But let's go on into some clips from yesterday, shall we? The first one up here is Nancy Pelosi. She's talking about the 25th Amendment, and she says she wants everybody to come around here tomorrow, which is today, Friday, to see what we have in store. You better come. And she's wearing a mask. She looks like the worst designed Mortal Kombat character ever. It's this orange floral print that is just strapped across that skeleton face of hers. Oh my God, the attempts that people make to look young. You can tell that this is an 80-year-old woman trying to look young. My God, take a listen to this.
When we hear people saying I'm young and I'm a perfect specimen, instead of addressing the fact that 50,000 people were infected, reported to be infected yesterday, nearly 1,000 people died. What are we talking about here? Tomorrow, by the way, come here tomorrow. we're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment, but not to take attention away from the subject we have now.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna come back tomorrow for your lesson in United States Constitution with Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, that's what we're all gonna get. Nice little lesson in the Constitution with Nancy Pelosi. We're gonna talk about the 25th Amendment tomorrow. Gather around, kids. Sit down. Shut up. Shut up. Shut that kid up. Oh, what a harridan. What a harridan. 50,000, and 1,000 died. I wonder how. You can't trust anything that they say. You can't trust anything that they say. Not at all. And here's Joe Biden. Now you want to talk about another masked lunatic who has been avoiding real issues and speaks like he is. They talk about the 25th Amendment being something that needs to be considered, even though the Congress has no part in how the 25th Amendment is applied. You're talking about the president, his staff, the executive branch, and many of the people over there that have to make any kind of a decision. The Congress can pass a law that creates other bodies, other commissions, other bodies that can actually weigh in on the 25th Amendment, but there's no way that Nancy Pelosi and the House are going to be able to pass a law that amends this in any way, shape, or form. I mean, the amendment itself creates the ability for new bodies, authoritative bodies to be created in assessing 25th Amendment scenarios. So they don't even have the ability to pass a law because they don't have the Senate. And I don't know. And would Trump have to sign that into law? They don't have the Senate and they don't have the White House. And they're trying to create a commission to try to take the president out of office 26 days before an election that he's supposedly losing. Always remember that, because this is all nonsense. But would he have to sign that into law? Would he have to sign the law, that bill into law, that would effectively be there just to remove him from the White House? So this is all, hey, we need something to do in front of the cameras. And we know that the people who listen to us and think that we are on the up and up are completely stupid. And they need to be coddled. They need a pacifier in their mouth. And we are going to provide that pacifier. That's what all of them are. A really whiskey soaked pacifier. That is what Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, and the rest provide for all of their constituents. A whiskey soaked pacifier. Here's Joe Biden once again dodging the idea or the question of whether or not he will pack the courts. All right. For those of you who don't know what this means, it just pretty much means that if he becomes president and if somehow the Senate flips over to a Democrat majority, will he be in, and also they maintain the House. They have to pass this legislatively to expand the courts. And then, of course, if they have the Senate, they can then confirm as many judges as they want. Will he stand by and support court packing? Which means if Amy Coney Barrett becomes a justice right now, and Democrats and their crazy communist ideology is delivered a blow that will last at least 20, 25 years, will Joe Biden be behind an effort to expand the court, which means going from 9 justices to maybe 15 or so, and then, of course, ramming through several Supreme Court justices to maintain a majority or at least neutralize anything that could be a constitutional voice on a court that is supposed to only apply the Constitution as written? The Constitution being a contract. Can you imagine going before a judge and going before lawyers and hoping that a contract you sign can be interpreted in a flexible way? Who the hell would sit down and sign a contract knowing that the language used in the contract can be interpreted in one way or another and the meaning can evolve over the term of the contract? What is that? What is that? They don't want you asking these questions. They don't want you being even presented with these quandaries. They don't want you even being presented with these quandaries because it'll make you think. It'll give you an opportunity to walk through the threshold of an awakening you never thought was possible. An awakening you're going to hear a little bit more about in the last half of the show when I play you my interview, or at least a portion of my interview with Mr. Mickey Willis. So I'll tell you a little bit about that in a second. But listen to Joe Biden, who is flirting or skirting around the idea of court packing. Listen to this.
They'll know my opinion of court packing when the election is over. Now, look, I know it's a great question, y'all, and I don't blame you for asking. But, you know, the moment I answer that question, the headline in every one of your papers will be about that. Other than focusing on what's happening now.
So that's it. Focus on what's happening now. Amy Coney Barrett is the devil. Don't worry about the fact that I am certainly, with all the ways that we are avoiding this, 100% we are in favor of packing it with communist devils of our own. This is so beyond the pale. If you don't know what his opinions are on this by now, no one can help you. And if you think this is a good idea, if you think that this is a good idea, my God, wait, just wait. They're taking away every check, every balance, everything that there was there to prevent real tyranny from happening because they are the tyrants. They are the tyrants. They are not taking any moments to look at themselves in the mirror and realizing why their appeal is slipping away and falling into the depths of the Mariana Trench. They don't understand. They don't care. They don't care because persuading the public in a free nation was never part of their plan. They don't care about the art of persuasion. They don't care about philosophy. They don't care about dialectic. And they don't care about learning themselves. They are full cups. Their cups are filled to the brim. They are overflowing. There is no room. They already know everything they need to know. Now it's a matter of drowning you with their overflow. That's all this is about. Now we're going to go from that now to Mark Levin. I want to play you Mark Levin because this is something. It's amazing. He went on Sean Hannity and he spoke for about 5 minutes. I'll maybe play you about three or four. It's all great. He's going to talk about the reason why Joe Biden's refusal to address whether he's going to back the court packing is so horrible. And the balance that's being lost by the destruction of the courts, really, it's the perversion of the courts that even the founders had seen. Many of the founders did not even want there to be a judicial branch. They saw how the courts can be perverted by politics and that the governing body that is supposed to actually draft legislation, our Congress, would be overridden when it would be deadlocked by some kind of well-needed stalemate. You know, our federal government was designed to be almost in a perpetual state of stalemate because all the real ways that government it was supposed to be applied was going to be as local as possible. You can do whatever you want. As you can see, that is being done in places like California. You're telling me that what does it matter that California lives under a Republican or a Democrat president, when California's state government is so insane, so autonomous, that they are now looking to pass a law. Governor Newsom is looking to pass a law that is going to mandate people who are going into these restaurants to have a meal now have to put on their mask in between bites. It's not even enough that you sit down, you can take your mask off at the table that you're at. If you're sitting at the table, the mask still has to be on in between bites while you're chewing. When you can have that much control on a state level, what the hell does it matter who's in the White House? This is why the federal government was supposed to be in complete deadlock. Because do you want California to be applied to all 50 states? You don't want that. Just like some of you in California don't want the regional and local customs of some parts of Alabama to be applied to California It's about what is good for you. Take care of yourself. Now, listen to Mark Levin, killing it as he usually does, talking about the Constitution, the courts, and why what we're watching right now is so dangerous. We'll listen to this for a few minutes.
This is our Constitution. Men and women have gone to war to defend this document. Men and women have died to defend this document. It is the finest governing document ever, ever created and established by mankind. Do you want to know why? Because it protects the individual from centralized government. It protects us from the mob, and it protects us from the monarchy. Right now, the mob has a voice in the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party wants to destroy this country. That's why it intends to attack the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's one of our three branches. The Democrat Party's saying, we don't give a damn. If that branch doesn't bow to our will, we're going to destroy it. They want to destroy half of Congress by loading it up with Democrats. So there's Democrats in Congress that control that body for a generation. Then they want to destroy the legislative process, so nothing can be done, nothing to stop them. All the checks and balances will be killed. All the checks and balances will be destroyed. Why? Because Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have an agenda that they want to ram down the throats of the American people. This election is about this, the Constitution of the United States. When you vote, you're voting now. You're voting on your liberty. You're voting on your country. You're voting for the men and women in uniform overseas who are fighting for this document. The Democrat Party is not this country. It doesn't get to rule over us. It doesn't get to have monopoly power over our government. And yet that's what it seeks. And we have a coward in Joe Biden, a man who has been a racist for much of his life, a segregationist for much of his life, a bigot for much of his life, hiding behind a virus. And he won't tell us if he'll defend the Constitution of the United States. We have a candidate for president of the United States who will not tell us if he'll defend separation of powers, one of the branches of the federal government, because he's concerned that'll be a headline. It'll be a headline. God forbid if he's sworn and he puts his hand on this document and he says he's going to uphold the Constitution. I don't know who the hell Chuck Schumer thinks he is. He's a passing footnote in history, or Nancy Pelosi, a passing foot in history. They don't get to decide in New York City and San Francisco how the rest of us live. Now, let me tell you how ignorant Nancy Pelosi is, how bombastic and buffoonish Nancy Pelosi is. The 25th Amendment, I didn't even know she could count to 25. Does she know what's in the 24th or 23rd Amendment? She knows nothing. The 25th Amendment provides in part that the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide determines that the president is no longer able to carry out his duties. Well, the vice president and a majority of the principal officers aren't going to do this, so they need another body. The problem is there is no other body because there's no law that's created another body. So she gets up there on stage with her stupid looking mask that looks like it was somebody's old sofa. And she gets up there. And you know what? Come back tomorrow. We're going to talk about the 25th Amendment. Well, what are you going to tell us, Nancy? Let me tell you what she's going to do. And the media are going to run with it because they're as ignorant as anybody else. We're going to set up a commission. We're going to pass a bill in the House to set up a commission with experts to look at this president and the medicines that he's taking. But it's not the law, because the Senate's not going to pass and the president's not going to sign it. She's setting up nothing. She's doing a fan dance. This is another phony Nancy Pelosi drama act 3.5 weeks before the election.
Amazing. I mean, listen, when I see these things play out and I realize, wow, I have the I'm seeing this the same way that Mark Levin does. That's pretty a good thing. That's a good thing. It makes you feel good inside. Makes you feel good inside. But then again, you want to know something, ladies and gentlemen. It's just this easy. The Constitution doesn't take very long to read through. You can read through it on a lunch break easily. Now, the documents behind that, the debates, all of the records of the Constitutional Convention, the Federalist Papers, everything that you can imagine. I mean, you can dedicate a lifetime to studying it, and it becomes more and more beautiful and more genius as time goes on, the more that you read into it. But it really is simple. And it was made simple because you and I are the drivers in this. If you think that the people that are working in Congress are somehow inherently smarter and craftier than us, and that we aren't able to do the things that they do, and you need to be a special type of smart to go on in there and understand what you're preserving and what you're preventing by being in Congress and allowing people, wherever they live in this large, large country, to just live their lives and make decisions locally as much as possible. Unless, of course, you're talking about international trade, defense, things of that sort. So that's what we have here. But it's awakening time. It is. It's a time of awakening. We're 25 minutes in, and now I want to leave you with something for the rest of the week. Now, I'm going to, since we're talking about personal journeys and great awakenings, earlier on in the week with Tracy, I have something special I'd like to share with you. Mickey Willis. He's a man who produced and directed the very controversial Plandemic series. It's a two-parter. There's part one that came out earlier on in the year. Part two just came out in August. You can watch both one and two for free at PlandemicSeries.com. And what Mickey has done here is he pulls together doctors, researchers, statisticians, and exposes what seems to be a plan to dominate the world geopolitically using COVID-19 lab creation as a delivery system for this kind of a tyranny. This tyranny that we were not buying when the UN and all of their allies were sending little teenage girls around the world on her little sailboat telling everybody that the earth is melting and hell, please, please. No, you remember Greta Thunberg, everybody? You remember Greta? What happened to her? What happened to her? Nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And it didn't do anything. Okay. And then on top of that, there's so much more. And it doesn't meet it. What we're looking at here is a delivery system for global tyranny. And it does meet other timely needs as well. For example, the assault on Americans during a pivotal election year. They got to get rid of Donald Trump. That is 100%. 100%. Just Donald Trump and his anti-globalist rhetoric is too much. Aside from the fact that he has actively pulled us out of things like the TPP and the climate accords in Paris and other things. He is a thorn in the side. He is a fly in the ointment. He is a turd in the punch bowl. That is exactly what he is. So this is definitely meeting other timely needs. And I think maybe it might have been rushed in that respect. And to much lesser degrees, yes, there are profits that could be made from the mandating of a vaccine for 7 billion people. But as I suspect, people like Prince Charles and the Vatican don't need the money. There's something else here. Now, what makes Mickey Willis so intriguing to me is that I know him personally. Like ships passing in the night, he directed an episode of a music television show that my band was a part of in 2015. When my guitarist Tom, my bassist Derek, we flew out to California as our first trip to California to film it at YouTube Studios in Anaheim. And he was always a consummate professional, Mickey Willis was. He had this wonderful, attractive energy on set. He really was amazing. But I always, you know, looked at him as a big California liberal, and he was. I stayed up to date with him and his work afterwards for in some nominal ways. Like I was friends with him on Facebook, and I know how socially liberal, how politically liberal he was. So this is why I was so shocked, but pleasantly surprised when I saw his face pop up on this documentary that had so far red-pilled so many people, and at the same time brought so much heat down on him. Smears and everything. So for the next half hour, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you a piece of the interview I did with him on Tuesday night that I think you're all going to enjoy very much. This section is really just about his personal growth, his personal awakening. If you want to listen to the rest of the stuff when we start talking a little bit more about propaganda that has popped up around COVID-19, also the stifling of the CDC's patenting of the virus and the detection and all that other stuff and the NIH and moving things off of the American shores and into Wuhan. All that stuff can be found on my Tuesday night episode, which you can find on SoundCloud and everything else. It's called, what the hell did I call it? I forget what I called it. Oh, Operation COVID. Operation COVID and the new Marshall Plan. So you can find that on the, quite frankly, SoundCloud. But this one, I think Tracy is going to love. I know you're all going to love it. This is the section of the story that really focuses in on Mickey's personal awakening that I believe is happening all over the country and the world. It was a healing experience for me to have this talk with Mickey. I must say, it was very cathartic. So with that, enjoy a little Friday inspiration. And thank you all on behalf of Tracy and I for another wonderful week of Dark to Light shows. But let me ask you something there, because you bring up your past, and I am a small little figment of your past as well. You over here with me too. But when I was when I say pleasantly surprised when I saw you popping up with part one of this documentary, I said, "What? Wait a second!" I sent it to my brother Anthony, the 10-second songs guy. He was our I said, "Ant, isn't this Mickey from the YouTube studios out there for Breaking Bad?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, wait a second. Now, I was shocked here, pleasantly surprised, because what I do know about you, Mickey, is that you're a pretty liberal guy. You're a pretty liberal guy, or at least because of where you're from in the country and the work that you do, I just tend to assume so. So I would love to ask you a little bit more about your personal journey throughout this entire thing, because many people who come from where you come from would never allow themselves to be this curious due to political culture out there and also how psychologically controlling the media has been. So tell me a little bit about your personal journey, if you can.
Well, one of the reasons they're smearing me so bad is because I do come from the far left. And when that happens and they're not able to just hang a right winger, you know, bag over your head, then it's quite troubling for them, because I don't fit the narrative. They can look at my history of social media and see my, you know, my support for Bernie Sanders while I was traveling on the road with him, and all of my stuff that leans left. I had a very viral video in 2015 that I would say is a very liberal ideology, and so they've had a hard time with that. But it was my time. You know, when I thought I was woke as a far left activist, I guess I'm a slow learner, but gradually I started to just feel this feeling of being duped, of like being on the front line, giving my life to a cause for 6 months or a year or two. Standing Rock, in that case, I was in service to the communities of Standing Rock for about 2.5 years, and something that I would still do, because I always will fight for indigenous people and people and, you know, challenging communities that are overlooked and oppressed. But one thing after the next happened to me in the course of 4 years or so, where I just kept getting invited behind the curtain, traveling on the road with presidential candidates, documenting their campaign, making media for them, Bernie Sanders, Tulsi Gabbard, meeting everyone backstage, Biden, everybody that was running for U.S. president in this election, before Biden was selected. I met all of them, and I would interview people on the road, and the thing that kept getting to me was I've traveled the world. My job, one of the incredible benefits that I'm grateful for of my job, is it's had me travel all over the world. And being raised very poor, it was always a dream of mine, and my family never traveled. And so, getting into my job and getting to go say yes to a job and then end up in Europe or in the jungles of Peru or whatever has been quite an adventurous journey. But through that, I have seen real oppression. I've seen people that are in real serious situations. I've seen real bigotry, real homophobia. I've witnessed the countries that serve these hateful ideologies, and to be in my country, a country that I'm grateful to be part of, a country that we're all privileged to be part of, not just white people, but we're all privileged to be part of this country. And then to interview so many people, particularly when I was on the road with Bernie Sanders, who just repeated this dialogue over and over about race, you know, America being founded on racism and genocide and rape and sexism. And it's like, you know, I would hear this and I thought, is there anything positive? Is there anything that we can talk about how much we've course corrected, how much better we've gotten? Can we talk about the current stats, the fact that violent crime and rape and murder and everything has plummeted, and that we're doing so much better year by year? But according to these young people mostly, and some older people that I was interviewing, in their minds, it just has gotten worse. And it didn't compare to the stats, which I have a great fondness for actual stats, you know, like what's really happening. There's what it feels like and what it looks like. And then honest stats can actually show you what the real numbers are. This is how many people were actually harmed by police, unarmed people. This is what really happened. And this is the, you know, if you start looking at that, it's an entirely different world, and it's a better world. Mm. It's a world that's making rapid improvements. But nobody talked about this when I was on the road with Bernie. It was just depressing. It was just, you know, the feeling of like, oh, here's somebody that will fight for the little man felt good. That was exciting. And he'd fire up the crowd because, you know, he'd convince us all. And being raised with a single mother, I was part of that. Like, I want single mothers to be taken care of. And yet there was just this kind of this hatred for our country and even ourselves. Like, there was a lot of, you know, people just not feeling like they're worthy of a good life because they have been born into such privilege that they don't deserve. And it's kind of like this weird dialogue that kept happening. I was like, this is not healthy. Mm. It's not whether I like Bernie or not. It's like, this ideology, did this come from Bernie? And I wasn't clear, because that's not what I was getting from him. And then I started listening to him while I was filming him on stage going, yeah, you know, he's actually never, ever said anything positive about America. What he's said is, though, what we've gotten is that the rich are wicked and evil, and they all need to be taxed into equality, which will never happen. But there's a sense of anyone successful, and there were these broad statements that were being made. And I know people that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, really good people. The godmother of my children is a single mother who developed a fitness line of food and became a 100 millionaire. And it didn't change who she is. She's an incredibly loving person, but she's lumped into this 1% evil. And I thought, this is as bad as racism. We're just classifying, labeling people. If you make this amount of money, you're part of them, just like racists do. And they go, if your skin color is this color, then you're part of them, instead of really paying attention to the content of each person's character. And that's when I started to go, I don't agree with this anymore. And mm-hmm. then I had a couple more experiences right after that where I felt like I was duped and lied to. And I started to get really kind of upset about all the work I'd done as an environmentalist and as an activist, and realizing that nothing achieved its goal. Every fight, and we've risked our lives, and we've definitely risked our freedom of fighting on the front line. And has it actually achieved what we wanted to? And I had to look back at all my years, and I thought, not one thing. We've had little tiny victories, but like winning the thing we were after, it never happened. Mm. And then I started to look deeper and to ask myself, maybe that's what they want. Maybe they want us so distracted by these fights, like masks and social distancing, where everybody's fighting about that, while over here the big stuff is happening. And I started watching the game, and I compared it to a magician, where a magician will say, watch this hand, as this hand is doing the trick, right? And I started to watch the other hand, and every time I'd catch it, and I'd go, oh, wow, this is all a big trick. We're being tricked. We're being tugged by our heartstrings. Morality has been weaponized, and we're being pulled into these fights so that all the people that are brave enough, strong enough, and angry enough and compassionate enough to do something are all being corralled into a fight they'll never win just to keep them busy while the real damage is being done over here. And I said, I'm done with this game. I'm not going to play anymore. From this point on, it's not about a side. It's not about an ideology. It's about truth and truth only.
Oh, Mickey, you know, this is so heartwarming for someone like myself who, for a long time, you know, I came from the other side of the fence there, too. I mean, Anthony and I, we come from a very, you know, very theatrical family. I guess Democrat in some way, but they don't, it's not really political. It's just one of those things. You know, we have a lot of different identity politics that gets seeped into things over here. Our father is gay. We have such an integrated family and circle of friends and bandmates and everything else, and to be at this point slowly ostracized and stuffed into our own closets. It's so weird to be able to say, wait a second here. Why is it that we are all being kept at opposite sides of the gym? I'm being ostracized in some way, and so many other people. Someone like you, Mickey, I'm telling you, this is the kind of the kind of conversation that so many people on what is considered the right, or what is more so just American traditionalism, rugged individualist, people who are pro-individual liberty, you know, that see that the social controls that are coming down from the top, whether it be in a state government that needs to be decentralized down to the local governments, or whether it be from the national government that needs to be broken up and decentralized down to the states, or now that we're talking about the globalization, the globalism there, that they want to actually landlock the entire planet into one entity. I mean, this is what people on the so-called right are always talked about being so radical about being pushing back against the centralized powers of government, because whether we're talking about the supposed equaling of all things economically, which will never happen by force, you can only allow people to empower and enrich themselves and engage with communities that could support themselves and actually become stronger and more tightly bound together as good neighbors and all that stuff. How do you get down to the human being again? Or whether we're talking about racism, or are we talking about a virus? All of the same things come down, and it's always the same solution. We need to get away from the individual. We need to get away from civil liberties, and we have to get down to consolidation, taxing, and spending. And that scares a lot of us. And now that we're getting to such a point, once again with the propaganda, it's hard to even strike up this conversation. So when I say I literally want to jump through the screen and hug you when you're talking like this, I swear to God, it's true. And so let's get back to the documentary for a second. In the first 26 minutes, in part two, you're talking about Operation Mockingbird. At the 41-minute mark I have over here, you link the WHO director to the Clinton Foundation and to the Communist Chinese. You lay out the Rockefellers' history, as you brought up not too long ago before, the New World Order structure, depopulation agenda. I'm thinking to myself as you're going along, how can he be this red-pilled and still have any friends left out there? So, I mean, you know, so it's good that you travel a lot, my friend. It's good you travel.
I don't have a lot of friends left in California. That's why I'm in Texas.
Good for you. Oh, good. Oh, so you officially made the jump.
We made the jump. We escaped. I literally just, I'll announce this right now. We just, verbally, we haven't signed the contract yet, but we just bought a home here. We just got the message today that we got it, our offer was accepted. And so, it's been an amazing experience as I've been here in Texas. You know, it's not perfect. They're dealing with their own political struggles, their own, the result of really bad policies, especially downtown Austin area, but we live way outside of Austin. And, but, you know, I will say that, first of all, I love everything that you said right there. I want to jump to the screen and hug you too, because it's so nice to be interviewed by somebody who's so educated and knows what's going on. I feel like I owe a great apology to the Republicans of the world, because I lived my whole life believing that they were all racist and all a bunch of greedy, evil, corporate sucking religious fanatics. And I lived a lie thinking that my liberal party was the loving, compassionate, reasonable, logical side. And this experience for me has shown me that the world is inverted. The most hateful comments, threats, physical threats, refusal to even have a dialogue has all come from friends of mine that are on the left. And it's been just staggering to me that, like, that this could be happening. I've had friends that have known me for 25 years who have chosen to believe the media and Big Pharma over me. They'll say things online like, this is probably one of the most honest, integral men I've ever known. He's always been a mentor to me. He's a wonderful father and a husband. I don't know what's happened to him. He suddenly went this way. Instead of thinking, maybe he's discovered something that I should listen to, and I've asked some of them, I've said, do you trust big media? And they say, no. Do you trust Big Pharma? No. Do you trust me? Yes. But look what you just wrote about me. Mm. You're siding with them. Like, do you understand? Like, what part of, I mean, is it mind control that you don't understand that you're actually working against your own beliefs at this point? And but then on the flip side, I've had some of my far left friends who have come, you know, to the realization, have swallowed that red pill themselves. And there's nothing more fierce and nothing more determined and nothing more clear than a liberal who has woken up, really woke up. I don't mean the woke culture. I mean, like, really waking up, because you almost have to be to the other side of, like, anything you do. You know, like, if you've been in poverty, which I was raised on welfare, food stamps, all of that, then you come to the other side and you realize the whole spectrum, that you can actually sympathize with the people that are in poverty. And so for me, I'm grateful that I was so far to the other side that I could now, I still think there are some liberal ideologies that are very important. And yeah. But what surprised me is I've now been filming both sides all the time, is what I'm filming now. I'll go to events, a far left event, a far right event, or I should say Democrat and Republican event. And I've been amazed that's why I said I feel like I owe an apology to the Republicans, because there are gay people, black people, every kind of people you can imagine. And I'll ask when I'm interviewing them, I'll say, there's a lot of gay men here. How do you feel about that? And they're being honest. That's the one thing about Republicans. They'll tell you how they feel. You know, they'll straight up, I don't like that. And some of them have said, it's not for me, but to each his own. Like, I don't care. Whatever they want to do. They're good. Are they good people? That's what we care about. Like, are they honest? You know, are they going to cut you in the back? If they're good people, awesome. And as far as color goes, I know racism. I had a racist uncle. I remember him very well. I remember the jokes he used to tell. And so I've seen racism. But there's another side of it here that I'm witnessing these people. They've been so much more tolerant. They've been exactly what I thought my side was.
Yeah.
But something has happened to my side lately that you can't even say. You can't even acknowledge. Like, I put something out a couple years ago when Trump actually, prison reform was a really big thing to me. The prison laws that Bill Clinton established, that actually Joe Biden helped write, was the most racist thing that America has done since before the Civil War. That disproportionately prisoned brown and black people, mostly men. And if people don't know details about that, I mean, it's a very serious, by a policy, they were able to criminalize a generation of brown and black men. And Obama promised to undo that. 8 years, he never did it. Trump came in and signed it away, and there it went. And I went online and I said, celebrate this? Like, this is, there's no doubt that this is a good thing that Trump just did. Can we celebrate this? And then I'm called a Nazi and a, you know, and I'm like, what? I don't understand how that would
predictable.
Equate to. Yeah, it's really wild.
It's predictable. It really is. I'm just glad that this stuff is happening, because, like I said before many, many times, it's either we win or this trajectory of that very toxic culture on the left wins out, and eventually we win anyway, because it's not sustainable. It will collapse onto itself. There's no joy there. You cannot link people together and build a sustainable joyful, profitable, and thriving future when everybody, the only thing that they really relate to the person next to them is some kind of a shared pain or a grievance that's been assigned to them many times. Well, like fair. You said before, you that's not the basis for a personal relationship, let alone a nation. And, you know, so I guess big picture is my thing here too, because I also want to keep your wonderful work in focus of this conversation, because I think it's all very, very connected, because you are acting in spite of all of this. You know, you have acted in spite of all of this atmosphere and all of this revelation that is swirling around you. And it must be like your world that you've known for many years has been upended, but you are just going, you are riding out the current, and it's a beautiful thing. But as far as big picture goes, because I know that you only have a couple of more minutes with me, but people have been telegraphing the disease X things for years now. We know that. Now every inbred world leader at Davos, the World Economic Forum, they're all using this virus to push what they are all calling, and this is a term that they have adopted collectively, a global reset. The Pope does nothing but promote the UN. Last month, Prince Charles, he actually used the pandemic to call for a military-style Marshall Plan approach to save the world from climate change. So this does not seem to me like the kind of an operation, the pandemic, that was put into place just to be able to sell a vaccine. That is so small beans. Prince Charles and the Vatican does not need the money. So what do you think that we're getting set up for?
Man, what a pleasure being interviewed by you. You've done your homework, and you're dead on the money. I tell people, keep bringing that up. They're saying it's all about selling a vaccine. I said, no, it's not. Oh. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to get rich off of that, but they're already rich, and that's not what it's about. Mm. It is about absolute control. The bottom line is this. We're in a communist takeover right now. And people hate to hear that. It's one of those weaponized words that when you hear it, you know, right away, I'm a conspiracy theorist. And I was on a podcast with someone about 2 weeks ago, and I said that, and they went, well, that might be a little too far. And I said, well, how would you define communism? And they went on to basically describe everything that's happening right now. Well, it's when the government has total control of your life and you don't have the ability to say anything you want to say online. And they're, and I said, yeah, exactly. So I'm interviewing people right now from former communist countries, people who have escaped from North Korea and from Cuba and Venezuela. And I have someone on my team, one of my researchers was a former CNN producer who escaped Russia. And they all say exactly the same thing. They say, I cannot believe that this is happening in America. This is what we escaped for. This one person said, my daughter and I escaped, left our life behind to come to America where we'd be free. And good God, I wish people could know that this is exactly how this thing snuck up on us. It was through little fear tactics, incremental steps, that we kept giving our liberties away each time, until finally we ended up in a place of going, we can't leave our house? What? Like, what? We have to work for 16 hours a day and we get how much money? Who said yes to this? And they don't, next thing they know, it's just part of their life. Every one of them says the same thing, like, wake up, America, wake up. We are going to be communist China really soon. And that's why, if you want to know who has control over your life, it is those you cannot speak truth about. And right now in America, we cannot say our sports teams. No one can say anything about George Soros, about China, about the real players that are behind this thing. And they all, if they do say something, they come back and they apologize. because they're going to be, their contract's going to be ended, or whatever, however China has power over them. They own so much of our country, and our former politicians, we've all heard the statement that politicians are not elected, they're selected. Well, for a number of years, for decades, politicians have been selected and placed very strategically in very important positions, from DAs, that's all the DAs in the cities right now that are rioting. They've all been placed, they've all been paid off. This is why when someone gets arrested for blowing up a cop car, they're out the next day, because the DAs don't charge them. They've been carefully placed over the course of decades, and there are some places where they didn't get to place them, and those are all the places right now that are doing well in this pandemic. You know, South Dakota, certain places within the U.S., Sweden, and places that have actually done really well. If you listen to our media, it sounds like, oh, they've had a horrible second wave, they've done terrible, and it's all absolute BS. But those people who they hadn't had time to place yet, because my theory is this pandemic wasn't, it was going to happen, but not yet. They had to push it forward because of Trump. And major things that were happening, they had to push it forward after every investigation, every impeachment inquiry, everything failed. This was the big, all right, we need to go to DEFCON 4 and push this thing up from perhaps 2024 to now. Mm. And because of that, there were a lot of pieces that weren't ready. And that's the thing, that's the crack in the dam, because we're now able to look at these models and the people who didn't play the game and said, Why did South Dakota just deny the stimulus package? Because they don't need it, because they didn't close down. They actually told their citizens, we'll leave it to you to decide. If you want to stay home and social distance and whatever, we'll let you do that, but it's not mandatory. There were a lot of things that were done that completely blow the entire agenda out of the water. And so long answer to your short question is, this is about total control. As we say in Plandemic, as Dr. David Martin eloquently says, this is an elite bloodline of people who would rather have the United States and the world be the playground for the entitled few, so that they can get away with whatever they want to get away with. They can traffic children, they can do whatever with absolute, they're untouchable at that point, because we're all so indentured and in such poverty that we can't do anything. We don't have any mega entrepreneurs that actually can make major things happen. They brought them all down through taxation, and everyone's on this playing field. This is not new. This is actually the way we've always operated. People always act like this is impossible, and it's like, go back to the cradle of civilization, go back to Mesopotamia, and examine the relationships between the elite, the pharaohs and the kings and the queens, and all of the slaves that worked in, you know, started with agriculture. Find out how they manipulated. How do 20 elite manipulate 200 behemoth slaves when they didn't have the weaponry that we have today? How do you keep them from storming the gates of the castle? Psychologically, that's the only way to do it, by convincing them that you have a line to God or the power or whatever, and that you're the chosen one, and they're lesser, they're the non-essentials, and if they don't fall in line, you will have God strike them down. That's where it started. And now that the God thing doesn't work anymore, we use politics to do it all, and policies.
Mm. And let me ask you then, in one final question, I think is appropriate to be brought up. I mean, just knowing, I mean, you're obviously tossing your hat into the ring by making these films. I show up every night and I do my little bit, and I try to have nice little put together talk shows for anybody that who will listen. But, and you've gotten plenty of criticism, but your curiosity. In your curiosity, you have inspired people in ways that far outweigh the smears that have come on in. But knowing how evil and calculating a global force that we are up against right now, I mean, it's a force that obviously places very little value on human life. What do you think ultimately is necessary to push back against this and defeat it?
Yeah, another good question. It's a social thing that has to happen. So we have to, you, whoever's listening to my voice right now or looking at this video, we have to collectively to get over the fear of not fitting in, of not being liked. those simple little basic things that were programmed from the first preschool environment that we're in when we're trying to be part of the tribe, part of the community. And we realize how fragile that is. I mean, it doesn't take anything for us in our developing years to suddenly be cast out of the tribe and be uncool. We get caught picking our nose when we're tiny kids, and suddenly we're the nose picker and everyone's making fun of us and we're cast out of. We learn that one tiny little mistake can suddenly have us as the leper. And so we grow up with this great fear of crossing that line, and then we also get very comfortable in our discomfort, in our misery, whatever it might be, in our, you know, even if life's not completely working, it's a struggle and we're exhausted and you know, our kids aren't growing up the way we quite want them to, and the school isn't great, they're not learning great, they're being bullied and all that, it's not the dream life, we're used to it. And so we don't want that change. We don't want to disrupt something that we can predict the next day. We don't want the unpredictable. We're afraid of the new. So it requires us to reverse that, to be adventurers, to be, you know, to not be a jerk, to not be, you know, out there saying blasphemous stuff that is just to shock people, but to speak the truth. And if speaking the truth comes with people backing away from you. I mean, I have the greatest wife. We have an incredible relationship. I have two adorable, wonderful, a 6 and a 9-year-old boys. And with just that in itself, my life is complete. And everything else is just a cherry on top. And so, you know, if you can just be complete with the basic needs of your life, which might even just be yourself, if you can just be good with you, then the rest is just a bonus. And so this work we do to make sure that we fit in and wear the right clothes and the right hairstyle and talk just right and follow all the trends, we have to break that shit. And we have to be willing to stand out on our own, very unique. Do your research. Don't go out there and spread falsities, because it just makes it tougher for guys like me. But do your research. Look in the other direction that the mainstream is pointing you in. And when you find the truth there, speak it. Be brave, be courageous, be compassionate, because the people that come at you, even the ones that threaten your physicality, your life, which I've had, I also remember they're just scared. They think I'm threatening their family or their grandmother because that's what the media told them. So I get that they're just trying to help someone. They're just not doing it in a very conscious way. But we have to break that cycle of being afraid to be cast out of our tribe. Because here's my promise, here's what I've learned, and this is all very recent, but I risked everything. Because when you go up against Google, just Google, as a filmmaker, someone who is, you know, traditionally dependent upon these technologies to promote and distribute, anything I create has got to be on Facebook and Google, and if people can't search for it and find it, I'm screwed, right? Mm. I thought so. But what's risen because of my willingness to let go of all of that and risk it all is a whole other realm and dimension of support. And what's happening right now is incredibly exciting in my life. These superheroes are coming together. We're building new platforms, new ways to bypass the gatekeepers, to game the gamed system, and to keep telling the truth. And we're yesterday we were on a safari shopping for 1,000 acres of land to create a community where we can have schoolhouses for our kids, and a bunch of families are coming together to create a new way to live together, protected environment where we grow our own food and we're off the grid, you know, not a commune, but like a new mini city where we can actually, you know,
beautiful,
to the best of our ability, live by our own rules and raise our children in a loving environment, a loving and safe environment. So we all have to know that letting go of the old makes room for the new, but you have to be willing to let go of the old first.
Oh, man. I mean, and it's what I'm saying. I get my my red, white, and blue American tradition. I don't know. There's something inside me that gets tickled pink when I hear about individual action like that, independent action like that. There was actually a few people that
started putting together ideas for their own small, like, incorporated gated town community in somewhere in Georgia recently. Now, they were citing, for one reason or another, they wanted to do it to be able to get away from racism and stuff like that. So whatever their reasons cited are, I'm not going to really jump into the weeds of how people are feeling emotionally, but the ability to actually say, we want to be able to create something that we feel safe with, that we're independent, we don't want any help. We want to be able to just go off and plot our own course in life peacefully, independently. That was the whole point of all this. They don't want that. And I think that what you were talking about right there before, that's such an amazing way to wrap this this conversation up, is really being okay with yourself, you know, starting with the man in the mirror, as Michael Jackson put it. And it, when you do that, you really start thinking, I look at the tortured souls that are in the streets all the time, causing, you know, committing to violence and stealing and assaulting each other. And I ask myself, if this all went away tomorrow, if you got in your bank account all the reparations you wanted, or if you wanted this and that, if all this went away tomorrow, what do you do? What are you doing on Wednesday if all of this went away? And yeah. I don't think most people would know what they want to do the next day. This has filled a void that has been intentionally put there so people can be triggered into the most inane action and destructive action that they have no investment in the outcome. And I think that what you are bringing to the world is a beautiful thing there, Mickey. And it's been wonderful to have you on here tonight.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. It's so good to reconnect with you, too.
Yeah.
You're so talented.
Hey, listen.
So talented.
I don't know. Obviously, you're camped out over there in Texas now. I'm still trapped in New York. But if you're ever up here in the tri-state area and you need a sound or podcast studio, you let me know. This place is at your beck and call. You let me know anything we can do to help you. We're going to be there.
Wonderful. Please tell your brother I say hello.
Oh, I definitely will. And the lower third has been up there. Mickey Willis, director, PlandemicSeries.com. Is there anything you want to leave people with as far as URLs or anything that you got coming up that you want to preview?
No, I'm not really big on promoting. I just want to leave people with hope. I want you to know that we're going to win this. It's written in the stars. We are going to win this. We have to go through a little bit of a crescendo and a climax before we get there. And it might get a little worse before it gets better, but it's going to get better, people.
Oh, beautiful. Have a great night, Mickey, and I will talk to you soon.
Brother. Thank you, man.
All right. All the love in the world to Mickey Willis. And with that, you can find us on Radio Influence and Stitcher and TuneIn and iTunes and Uncover DC and all that stuff. Go out, check us out, and enjoy your weekend.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.